I'm just ignorant. I ain't crazy, I'm just ignorant.
Welcome up to the Unusual Thoughts Podcast.
Yeah.
My biggest problem in life was overcoming myself. But once I defeated myself, the only thing left was peace.
Niggas be talking like this shit easy or something, you heard me?
They do.
Nah, nigga, I make this shit look easy, you heard me?
See, sometimes people think they can be you better than you can be you. And every time they play you on, I'm a bitch. You the fuck back up, nigga. Took a lot of losses, had to bounce back. She got ass loving when they bounce back. Came back strong, had to bounce back. Applying pressure, watch a nigga bounce back. Pushing up all in his face and he think that I'm pushing. Like, what we gonna talk about? Ain't shit to talk about. I pull the calls on these niggas, I call them out. Pushing, yeah. Pushing, I'm in his face and he think that I'm pushing. Make the mistake if you think that I'm pushing. Water just gush out, I'm off in the pussy. She needs some more cushion when bottles some ass. Sequel compartment, Toyota Corolla. I'm hoping the load don't get caught on the slab. Nothing impossible, I had a few obstacles. Right back to clocking like I never left. My windows is tinted, my mouth and my watch go to heat. While gripping the wheel in my bed. I'm in two lanes, whip is insane. I had to take off the brain. I got some change.
Yeah. We back. Yes, sir, we back, man. That was Kevin Gates, Push It. Man, I'm a fan of Kevin Gates, man. I know I done said it before, man, but I'm a fan. So I had to start this week off with that, man, because what he said at the beginning, man, once you defeat yourself, man, everything else lies on the other side of that. So, but anywho, welcome back to episode 26 of the Unusual Thoughts Podcast. I am your ignorant ass host, Desmond, and I'm feeling good this week, man. It's been a hectic week, man, but I'm feeling good. New opportunities, new blessings. Knew everything, man. I feel good about all of it. So I'm in here with some good energy. It's been a hectic couple of weeks with everything that happened with my family. And, you know, we still going through with that. Shout out to my auntie. Love you, baby. But, you know, I feel good, man. I got a good energy this week. So y'all already know how we start off every week, man, with the unusual thought of the week, man. I think I got a good one for us this week. So as soon as I get that done, man, I'll be right back at you. The unusual thought of the week. Yes, sir, I'm back. And I'm feeling good this week, man. It's been a lot better than my previous week. And I hope all you guys have had a good week as well. If you hadn't, understand that God is right there with you. He's in the struggle, in the storm, whatever you're in at the moment. He's right there beside you, fighting with you and for you. And I promise you, continue to push forward and you're going to come up out of that. But this week, man, I want to talk about I was watching something on TV earlier this week on Netflix, and you know, out of everything that's been going on with my family, with the passing of my aunt and everything, you know, something that just popped in my mind while watching TV and thinking about her, man, don't speak in fear, man. Fear don't live here, plain and simple. Fear don't live in my heart. Fear don't live in my out of my tongue. Fear do not live in my spirit. Because we spend so much time speaking in fear that we trick ourselves out of our own potential. We trick ourselves into believing that we can accomplish some things that we know in our heart, that if we put our minds toward and put our strengths and everything that we have into those things, that we can get them accomplished. So what are you scared for? All that fear ain't doing nothing but holding you back. It's holding you back from living your purpose, from achieving, like I said, achieving the greatness that's within you, that lies within you. And you spend so much time speaking out of fear. You let yourself speak in fear. You let the people around you speak in fear, to where you all just trick yourself out of your own position. Man, my auntie was fearless. Like, she was fearless. Smallest thing in the room, man, but she stood up for what she loved. I ain't even gonna always say what she believed in. But if she loved it, she stood up for it. And I just want to take that mindset and implement it into my everyday life, man. Like, just everything that I want to do, man. I got so many plans, and y'all done heard some of them about me buying land and things of that nature. And I told y'all then, I'm not trying to do anything else. I'm going to do these things. Like, by the end of the year, I will own some land. By the end of the year, I will be in the process of doing other things that I want to do. So it's no longer speaking in fear. I'm speaking in power. I'm going to speak life into these things. I'm going to speak power over my life and everybody around me that's connected to me. My friends, my brothers, my sisters, my brothers, like anybody that's around me. I speak power over every one of them because I understand that those people have the same, they may not have the same, they don't have the same goals as me, but they have the same potential as I do. They have the same potential, just may not be in the same field. And anything that they want to do and anything that they want to achieve in their life, I just want to be a vessel to help support them, help push them in the right direction to do that. And I encourage all of my friends to do the same thing. They hear me doing this podcast, man, give me tips. Give me where I'm wrong. Give me where I'm right. Give me advice about the things that I'm trying to accomplish. Because the things that I'm trying to accomplish, although I don't speak about them on a public platform anymore, I tend to keep them to myself and I write them all down. They're in my book and, you know, and I journal daily. And if you read my journal, it's all positive. It's all speaking power. There's no fear when I read back over anything that I write because I'm no longer living in fear. I'm living in my purpose. I'm living. I wear a band on my wrist every day that say live on purpose. And I plan to do that for the remainder of my life. I have people that's depending on me. I have people that support me. I have people that love me. And I want to make them proud, and living in fear ain't going to get it done. Living in fear, man. My homeboy, Gucci, man, on Instagram, Fit Fly Life, man. Shout out to my boy, Gucci. Man, he said something the other day, man. He put a post up the other day, man. It just hit home. He was just like, I was in college with Gucci at MTSU playing football, and I can remember when he got hurt. They told this man that he would possibly not even walk ever again in his life. Like, they told this man this. I remember like it was yesterday. Because I remember the cloud that came over MTSU Athletics at the time. It was like, because he was one of the better football players at the school. Very popular, very good player. And for him to get hurt in that manner and then for saying, man, he possibly may not walk again. And to see him come up out that fire, not only walk again, but strive at what he does. Now, he no longer plays football, but he's in a position in his life to where he's making a life for himself that he's happy with. And he's striving in it. And he is literally, it's amazing. And that post that he put up, he was like, man, the one dream that I had was playing football. It was taken away from me because of injury. But I ain't stopped. That's life. I move on. And then you can't do that. You can't move to the next phase of your life living in fear. The dude is fearless. And I know countless other stories that I can tell y'all like that from my brother KC to anything, to my cousin Sheikah, anybody. Like people that I know personally that have been through some things and fought their way through and battled through certain things in their life to get to the next phase in their life, and they're striving at those things. KC even went so far as to start a foundation, the Kelechi Anuna Foundation. Shout out to them. If anybody want to support them, go to the Kelechi Anuna Foundation page on Instagram, and it'll show you everything that he's doing with his foundation. But y'all don't know some of the things he's been through to get to this point. Can't do that stuff living in fear. So for anybody out there, man, the fear that you have, man, put it out your mind, because it don't live here no more. It don't live in your tongue, it don't live in your mind, it don't live in your heart. The only thing that's coming out of you is power. Power to get to the next phase of your life, man. I encourage every one of you to speak in power, never in fear. Unusual. There is a few things that we got to discuss this week. And y'all know we're going to get into the NBA free agency talk, man. It's just a lot. It's a lot going on there. And I promise you, I'm going to cover a lot of it today. And next week when I have Jamal on, this week when I get Jamal on the podcast, we're going to talk more. We're going to go into more detail. We're going to give you his thoughts on the free agency thing as well. But first and foremost, man, I just want to talk about the Democratic presidential debates that happened last week. And I have to say, I didn't watch it all. But the one person that stood out to me was Kamala Harris. Kamala or Kamala? I'm still not sure how to say her name. But I first learned about Kamala when she did a Breakfast Club interview. It was earlier this year or late last year. She did a Breakfast Club interview, and I can't say that I became a fan, but it put me on notice to Kamala Harris. And if you don't know who she is, let me just read her bio that's on her website. Kamala D. Harris is a lifelong public safety and civil rights leader. Elected in 2016, she is the second African-American woman in history to be elected to the U.S. Senate, the first African-American and the first woman to serve as the Attorney General of the state of California. So she's been doing most of her work out in the state of California. And I can just remember when she did the Breakfast Club interview, listening to her speak, her energy was, I guess you could say, it's contagious. It grabbed me instantly early in that interview, and it just kind of, since that interview, I remember I think even during the interview, I went to her Instagram page and I followed her on Instagram, and I've just been following her ever since then, just to see what she talks about and her values and what she believes in and what she stands on and things of that nature. And, you know, she's really good. Like, she's just a fearless person. She's a fearless woman. I don't even like saying, I'm not even going to say black woman or anything like that. I'm just going to say she's just a fearless woman. And she is a black woman that she's tough and principled and she's fearless. When you go to her website, those are the three things you see. You see tough, principled, fearless. And I think from hearing her speak, and especially during the presidential debates, that's what I got from her. Like, people were going off topic and things of that nature. She was like, man, let's stick to the topic. This is not about us. This is about the people. And that's what I wanted to hear. She made me believe in what her plans are. You know what I'm saying? I'm not the biggest political follower or anything of that nature. But I do like to know a little bit what's going on. And she just kind of stuck out to me. Bernie Sanders sticks out to me as well. Bernie Sanders talking about getting rid of all student loans and things of that nature. Now, that doesn't personally affect me because I don't have student loans. I was fortunate enough to get a basketball scholarship, so I didn't have student loans, but I know it affects millions upon millions of people. And I know my brother has a shitload of student loans, just to say the least. So I know a lot of people that have student loans, so I know that is a great talking point for a lot of them. But Bernie stuck out. Bernie just always seemed mad. Every time I listen to him talk, he just mad. He mad about everything. Everything is messed up in the country, and ain't nothing gonna change. Let him tell it. So it was. But all in all, I enjoyed the parts that I watched. I may have watched 30-35 minutes of the debates. And from what I watched, I enjoyed it. Just, you know, like I said, I'm just not that in tune with it. And I need to get more in tune. I think as it continues to go, I probably will get more in tune and see exactly what's going on and how they are, how everything is coming up and what people are actually standing on. I guess I want to wait till the list gets smaller, because right now it was probably 10 people on stage the other night. So I just want to wait until the list gets smaller so we start weeding down some of the people that won't get elected. And that's what I want. That's what I think I'm waiting on. I'm waiting on that to happen, to where it gets smaller. And that whole fear thing, once again, man, it's all about, once again, she fearless. And thinking about this, like I said, in the past week or so, man, it's been tough for our family, man. So we have to face some tough things going forward in our life, man. And even from just sitting here thinking about everything, man, it's like the things that I'm starting to, the next phase of my life, the things that I'm trying to attack, man, I got to go into these things with a fearless mindset. From the job that I work to the goals that I'm pursuing to my love life and everything else around that nature. Like, my love life right now, y'all know I'm single, and I can't say that I'm not looking. At the moment, I'm not pursuing anything with anybody but I'm not opposed to it anymore. I'm not opposed to that. But, you know, it's a, right now, I can't even lie to you. It is. I do have some fear about it. I do have some fear about going into some things because, like, I've had conversations with people and it's like, I love black women. I can't help it. A black woman is this is my preference. This is calling what it is. That's my preference. It's a black woman. And as I speak to black women, it's like everything is almost a fight. And I'm not trying to fight with you about nothing. I'm not trying to fight with you. It's like, y'all, the more I talk to black women, it's like, and I guess I understand it because they've been, you know, you hear so many women say black women are not protected and they're devalued and things of that nature. And it's like, well, I don't devalue you. And if you're around me, I protect you, but I can't protect every black woman because that's not my, I'm not Superman. I'm not God. I can't protect everything. But if you're around me, I can do everything I can to protect you. But it's like when you speak to a black woman, it's just so, it's, and I don't want to get into the whole the angry black woman thing. I'm not going down that road, but it's like a lot of it is just like, bro, like you ain't got to fight about everything. Everything is not meant to be a fight. If I say something or if you say something that I don't agree with, it's not meant for a fight. Hell, you said something I don't agree with. That don't mean that I want to fight you about it. I just don't agree with it. And I move on. But then I found myself lately just being like, man, forget it. All right, you got it. And then women along the lines of, well, you just don't care. Not that I don't care. I just don't care to fight about it. It's not that serious to me. It is not that serious for us to sit up and have an hour-long conversation about something that I probably don't give a fuck about, to be quite frank with you. I could care less about it. But it's like, but the fact that I disagree with you is World War III in your eyes. And it's like, you just don't care. And blah, nah, I just don't care about the thing all in general. It ain't you. So I'm trying to get back into a space to where I'm with a person and we can have conversations, and whether we disagree or agree, it's not about right or wrong. I'm not trying to be right. Even if I disagree with you don't mean that I'm saying that you're wrong. I'm not saying that you're wrong. I just don't agree with the mindset. Like, I saw something the other day where a woman said, a woman posted something where she said, if a man can't pay for all the bills, she said he needs to pay all the bills, like every bill, whether it's car insurance, car note, house debt. I said, okay, that's fine. If a man is able to do that, I'm all for that. Because Lord knows if I'm able to do that, I have no problem with doing that. I have zero problem with doing that. Then she was like, but he also has to pay for my hair, my nails, and anything that I personally want, like my personal wants, he needs to be able and willing to pay for that. So I was like, okay, you know, I'm not gonna fight it. If you can do it, do it. And then I continue to read down, and I'm sitting there reading down, and it, like, he needs to be good with children. He needs to cook. He needs to clean up after himself. He needs to, and there's a list of other things. And I'm like, if he got to pay all the bills, he got to do all this stuff for you, what the hell are you doing? So me being me, I knew the woman, so I just text her. I'm like, I said, hey, and I sent her a post, and I was like, so give me more detail into what you mean about this. She was like, I'm the woman. He should treat me like a king. I mean, like a queen. I said, okay, you're supposed to be treated like a queen. I'm like, but what are you doing for him in return of him doing all of this? Like, he's supposed to pay all the bills. He's supposed to do everything that you want him to do for you. He's supposed to cook and clean, because the gender equality thing, because that was her point in it, the gender equality thing. Like, it's not meant for a man. No, it's not meant for a woman to sit in the kitchen and cook and clean all day. So a man should be willing to do all those things too. So I was like, okay, so why can't you pay some bills then? You know what I'm saying? So if you talk about gender equality, okay, that's, you want equality, I'm all for it. And I guess, and she was arguing with me, and I'm like, I said, I'm just not understanding. Like, a man's supposed to do everything, and you just supposed to be pretty. She was like, I'm worth it. I'm like, But what do you add to his life, though? He's bringing value to your life if he's doing all these things. Because he also got to, now, in the midst of all those things that he's doing, he also has to be emotionally, she was like, he needs to be emotionally and spiritually stable enough to bring peace into my life. And I'm like, but what peace are you bringing to him? Because all you doing is laying up. I said, don't take offense to this. I said, but I know in the past, I've been around women that say, a man just don't need to bring no dick into a relationship. I said, well, all you bringing is pussy. If you're not going to do nothing else, all you doing is laying on your back. Well, why would you say that? And I said, but what? I said, so what else do you, I said, so what do you plan on bringing to a man? If he has to do all of these things, and you don't even want to cook. You don't even want to cook. Like, I said, come on, bro. I'm like, you don't want to cook. You don't want to do anything. All you want to do is just do whatever you want to do whenever you want to do those things. And I'm like, but there's no value to the man life. So the man don't need nothing. Well, y'all been getting away with this for so long and blah, blah, blah. I'm like, bro, you got to get it. I was like, look, I don't know what to say to that. I said, but if you want any type of stable relationship, you're going to have to bring more than just your little pussy to the table. And then vice versa, if a man want anything more than that, he got to bring more than his little dick to the table. Because that ain't going to get it done, sweetheart. I'm like, that's just me. I said, that's just from a friend to a friend. That ain't going to get it done. Because as much as I might think my little thing might be doing something, it ain't gonna do everything that a woman needs. It just ain't going to bring all of those things to the table. And I was just like, man, you got to get out of that fear stage. And I was just telling her, I said, you so scared to let a man in that you want him to do everything. That way, if it don't work out, then you can go out there and be like, well, I got everything from that nigga and blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, bro, you ain't doing nothing but wasting your time and his if that's all you're going to bring to the table. So it was an interesting conversation, man, and hopefully I tried my best to get her to come onto the podcast, but she was like, no, because I'm going to have to say my name and blah, blah, blah. I'm like, I blank your name out, and I don't know if nobody will notice your voice, but if they do, then that's fine too, but she don't want to come on. But hopefully I can convince her to come on so we can have a deeper conversation about that. Because I think it's necessary to have those type of conversations. And by the end of that conversation, she wasn't mad. She was like, okay, I guess I understand a little bit more. But I was just like, you got to bring more, sweetheart. Like, you can't expect a man to do everything. I said, so if he does all that, what if one day he come home and be like, babe, I just need you to be quiet. He shouldn't talk to me like that. I said, if he asks you to just give him some time to relax, he can't. Well, what if the babies need something? I said, he done did everything else. What? Like, you can't get the babies? It's a 50-50 job. I said, you ain't saying 50-50 with these bills and nothing else. So if he comes to the house and just say, babe, I need a minute just to relax a little bit. Get my mind. I've been working hard all day. Just let me get a minute. She was like, he need to find a minute on his own time. I'm like, my goodness. Like, good grief. It was amazing to hear her talk like that. But, you know, I guess you could say a beneficial conversation. I think we both got something out of it. But, you know, I think more of those conversations need to be had. But in other news, man, like I said, we got to get into this free agency talk, man. If I don't go ahead and get into it, man, this podcast may be 2 hours long, because I guarantee you the podcast with Jamal is probably going to be two and a half hours, because it's going to be some real basketball talk going on in their podcast. So, let me just jump right into it, man. Like, okay, so free agency started yesterday. And the big fish out of free agency made his decision quickly. And, man, the chips started falling. As soon as it came down where he was going, the chips started falling. And, you know, it's been a hectic couple days, to say the least. So, the big fish is Kevin Durant. Y'all know he's coming off. He tore his Achilles the Western Conference semifinals against the Houston Rockets. He strained his calf muscle, and in the finals, he came back in the finals in Game 5. and he tore his Achilles, and he's had successful surgery, and he's on the road to recovery right now. But Kevin Durant has decided to take his talents to Brooklyn to join the Brooklyn Nets. Wow. Just to say the least. He went to Brooklyn. Kyrie Irving has agreed to go to Brooklyn. And DeAndre Jordan has decided to go to Brooklyn. But the big fish was Kevin Durant. Everybody wanted to see where he was going to end up going. And he made his decision to go to Brooklyn Nets. Now, my mindset has been, since he hurt himself, I was like, every team in the NBA needs to try to make a push and win a ring this upcoming season, because Kevin Durant would not be playing no matter where he signed it. If he had decided to stay in Golden State, which would have been my choice if I was him, I just feel like you don't leave such a great organization with great players and a great front office and a great pretty much everything, coaching staff and all those things, to go to a pretty much an upstart. Brooklyn is they made the playoffs last year, but they're still just an upstart team, just to say the least. So, but I'm not mad at them. But I said everybody need to make a push to try to win. So as soon as they was hurt, the Lakers went out and got Anthony Davis. And I said from that point on, I was like, the NBA is leveled out now. Without Kevin Durant, because he's not going to play next year. He will not play. I don't think he's going to play all of next year. I don't think we will see him back until the 2021 season. So the playing field as soon as he hurt himself, it was a level playing field for every team across the NBA. So I'm sitting there and I'm like, okay, he going there, fine. So he ended up going to the Nets. Like I said, he signed for 4 years, 164. Kyrie signed for 4 years, 142. DeAndre Jordan signed for 4 years, 40 million. So they've all committed the next 4 years of their career there. But like I said, next year he's not going to be playing. And the way it's looking right now, teams are literally loading up to try to go for a championship this year, and I think they should. The other big fish was Kawhi Leonard. He still has not made a decision. He's meeting with the Lakers. He's going to meet with the Clippers. The last team he's going to meet with is the Toronto Raptors. We just got to let him go through the process and see where he decides. And guess we'll see. And we're just gonna wait and see where he decides to go. Other news, so with Kyrie and Kevin Durant going to the Nets, D'Angelo Russell was out the door. D'Angelo Russell, man, the damn Warriors find a way to do it all the time, man. So the Warriors lose Kevin Durant and they pick up D'Angelo Russell. They lose Kevin Durant. You got Klay gonna be out. Klay also re-signed with the Warriors. He signed a five years, Klay Thompson, 5 years, $190 million. He signed to stay in Golden State. But the Warriors picked up D'Angelo Russell. And they signed him for a four-year contract for $117 million. And I think it's a good fit, especially with Klay being out. He comes in, and of course he's not as good a shooter as Klay, but he comes in and fills that void for Golden State, and that keeps the ball rolling for them guys. Now, they also had to trade Iguodala. Shaun Livingston may be out the door and might go into the front office. He's hinted at retirement after 15 years. But they traded Iguodala to the Grizzlies. And I knew as soon as I saw that trade, the first thing I probably said, he's not going to play for the Grizzlies. They're going to probably end up buying him out, because I know they're rebuilding and starting young. So they're probably going to buy him out. And I was like, initially I was like, he's just probably going to re-sign with the Warriors just on a vet minimum. But they saying that the front runners for him are the Lakers. The Lakers are the front runner to land Iguodala for a trade minimum in LA. Other guys around the league, Damian Lillard signed a four-year, $198 million extension with Portland, which I think is a good. I think it's good. I, I, Don't have no issue with that. Another big trade was Kemba Walker. Now that Kyrie left Boston, Boston needed a point guard, and they got one in Kemba Walker. The Celtics got Kemba Walker, and I think actually it's not that Kemba is better than Kyrie. I think he's a better fit in Boston than Kyrie. I think Kemba can play within a system that Boston runs, and he can also go outside the system. I don't think Kyrie is much of a system guy. I think he can, but I also think you have to give – I think Kyrie's mindset last year was, give me the ball because these guys are young. Give me the ball and get out the way. And I don't think you can do that. I just didn't think it was a good fit last year in Boston for him. It just didn't work. Them young guys, you kind of pretty much shunned them and made them think that they weren't needed, in a sense. So I think Kemba is going to be great in Boston. I truly do. I think he will be great in Boston. Like I said, he plays better with young guys. It's just some players in the league just don't play well with young guys. I think they're in a mindset of like, I want to win now. Like, I don't think LeBron is good with young guys. I don't think Kyrie is good. Kyrie showed us that he's not good with young guys. Like, LeBron can play with young guys, but at the same time, I think LeBron's mindset is that I don't have the time to try to nurture and pull you along this ride to try to win a title. I'm trying to win right now, and you may not be ready for that stage right now. And a more of a veteran guy may be more suited to help me win right now. So, you know, either way, I think he's going to be great in Boston. I truly do. Derrick Rose signed a contract for 2 years to go to Detroit. I don't have many thoughts about it. I love D. Rose. I think he had a great year. I think the last couple years for him has been good. I think last year was really good. He had a 50-point game that really that was very emotional for him, so I like that for him. Nikola Vucevic went back to – he signed a 4-year, $100 million deal to stay in Orlando. Just going to continue to lose. Well, they made the playoffs this year, so they're not terrible. Terrence Ross is going to stay with Orlando. He signed like a $54 million deal for 4 years, so – you know, he got his money. My homeboy Thaddeus Young, my boy, congratulations to him, man. He got the Bulls pay him $3 million. Not $3 million, but he signed a 3-year deal. I think it was $40 million, $40, maybe $41. All this is off the top of the head. So if I get enough, if I'm off a million or two, don't judge me. But Thaddeus Young got a nice size contract from the Bulls. Not going to be a good team, but I'm happy for him. I'm happy for his family. Happy for him to get to pick up a bag like that. What's his name? To stay in the East, Chris Middleton is going to stay with the Bucks. He's going to stay there. He's going to sign a match contract with the Bucks. I think it's a 5-year deal. It's not a 190. I think it's like 180, 170, 178. It's 178. 5 years, 178 for Chris Middleton to stay in Milwaukee. Brook Lopez is also staying in Milwaukee. He signed a contract to stay there. I cannot remember the numbers to his contract. And his brother is actually going there too. Brook Lopez, let me see. Brook Lopez, I can't remember the how much money he got, but I know he signed a 4-year deal to stay in Milwaukee. But the numbers, I can't remember the number, but he signed a 4-year deal to stay in Milwaukee. So they got the crust of their team back, but they did lose Malcolm Brogdon. I think that's how you say his name. They lost Malcolm Brogdon. I think he's headed to Indiana. Malcolm Brogdon is headed to Indiana. He's headed to Indiana on a, you know what I'm saying, he got traded there. And I'm pretty sure he's going to sign a big contract, and I think it's probably going to be a 4-year around. It may not be 100. I'm not sure the numbers, but I'm pretty sure he's going to sign a 4-year deal, and it's probably going to be closer to 100. I would say 80, 85, maybe 90 million, 4 years, 90 million, 4 years, 80 million. Somewhere along those lines is where Malcolm Brogdon is going to get paid at Indiana. So, also Indiana got another guy that they're going to put Malcolm Brogdon beside, because you know they lost Darren Collison to retirement. He wanted to focus on his faith. But Malcolm Brogdon going to go there, and also Jeremy Lamb, who played for Charlotte last year. Jeremy Lamb is going on a three-year deal of $31 million. He's going on a three-year deal of $31 million. So I'm definitely not a big fan of Jeremy Lamb. Malcolm Brogdon is a nice fit to probably almost every team in the league. He doesn't need the ball, but he's efficient in what he does. He's a really, really good player. He's a good player that any team would love to have. Just to call it what it is. Like, he's not outstanding. He's not going to come in and blow things off the door. But, you know, he's just going to come in and add value to almost any team that he steps foot on. To stay out east, man, you got Jimmy Butler, who was a part of the Philadelphia 76ers. And, you know, he wanted a max from them guys, and they didn't want to offer it to him. So, in a sign and trade, Jimmy Butler will be playing for the Miami Heat, taking D-Wade's spot. And I think it's a good fit for him. You know, it's I don't know how much the roster in Miami is going to fill out, because right after they signed Jimmy Butler, they let go of Hassan Whiteside. Hassan Whiteside has been traded to the Portland Trail Blazers, which I'm going to get to them later. But right now, Jimmy Butler is a sign and trade. Philadelphia, I think Philadelphia went ahead and agreed to it. So it was a sign and trade for him to land in Miami next year, which I think is, like I said, I don't know how the rest of the roster is going to fit out. But I think for Jimmy Butler, he needs a new start. I truly do think he needs a new start. And I don't think, like I said, I'm looking forward to seeing how the rest of the, the rest of the roster fills out to see if it's a really good move. What else? Miami, he went there. Philadelphia. So I told y'all that he's getting traded from Philadelphia. So Philadelphia traded Jimmy. They're going to sign and trade Philadelphia. But in the midst of them signing and trading Philadelphia, they re-signed Tobias Harris. Now, this is probably the most surprising contract that I've seen so far. They re-signed him for a five-year, $180 million. And although I like Tobias Harris, I like him a lot. I think he's a very, very talented player. But I was honestly surprised to see him get $180 million. I was. He was on the borderline all-star the last couple of years, but $180 million is a lot of money. So it's right at $200 million, and ain't too many people cracking $200 million. So although I like Tobias Harris, it was just surprising to see him get $180 million. That truly, truly, truly... I can't even lie to you. That truly surprised me. I skipped over somebody. I skipped over the Boston. I was talking about Boston. Terry Rozier has been traded to the Charlotte Hornets for Kemba Walker. Kemba Walker going to Boston, so they got him up out of there and they signed him. Hey man, he wanted his money. I think more than anything, Terry Rozier wanted the opportunity. And Terry Rozier got the opportunity. Now he has signed to play for the Charlotte Hornets for 3 years, $58 million. You do the math. That's a lot of money for a guy that's really not proven. In my eyes, he's not proven. And I think he's been all offseason, he's really been talking about how much he had to sacrifice throughout the year. And you know what I'm saying? I get it. I understand that he did sacrifice playing behind, and he sacrificed for a good reason. Sacrifice, it ain't like he was sacrificed for a guy that wasn't better than him. He sacrificed for a guy in Kyrie Irving. He had to sit behind Kyrie Irving. So, I get it, but I think Terry Rozier has, I think he's done the same thing that Reggie Jackson did a few years ago when he played in OKC behind Westbrook. I remember after one season, he played good, and I want to be a starting point guard in this league, and I'm better than this. And he went off Reggie Jackson. He wasn't going off, but he was just talking about how much he could. He's a starting point guard and all the things that he could do. And he got opportunity, and Oklahoma traded him to Detroit. What have you heard from him since? It's a little bit different. Like, guys don't understand how difficult it is. Like, when in this NBA, I tell my brother, I tell anybody I talk basketball with, man, what impresses me about guys is a guy like a Kevin Durant or LeBron or a, let's say, a Steph or a – who's just a score. I would even say Jimmy Butler. People know what you're going to do and you can still do it. Like, people know. People know exactly what you're going to do and you can still get to your spot and get the shots you want, how you want to get them and all those things. You can still be effective. That is what impresses me. So I can remember when Reggie Jackson went on this long spiel about how he wanted to be a starting point guard and he wanted the opportunity. I think Terry Rozier, and he might, and I say this, I hope he proves me wrong. I truly hope. Anytime I have any type of criticism about a player like this, I hope he proves me wrong. But I feel like Terry Rozier is going to go down the same path as a Reggie Jackson. Reggie Jackson is not a bad player in Detroit. It's just a little bit different having to lead a team. Coming off the bench and being a hired gun is a little bit different than being a starting point guard and actually running your own team. It's just different. You just play the same way. No, you can't. Because you go from playing 20 minutes to 38. You ain't going to play the same way. I'm sorry, you ain't. So, like I said, I hope he proves me wrong. I think Terry Rozier is a good player, but I think it's gonna be an eye opener to him when he has to start because he started talking like that after they made their playoff run with Kyrie was out. He started a few games in the playoff, and you know he played good, but bro, you have to start every night for 82 games. You're the one they're depending on to come out here and run this team. You're him. It's a little bit different. So it's an eye opener, and I think I know he's a hard worker. He works his behind off at his game and at his craft, and I think he can handle it. But it's just going to be an eye opener for him, and I can't wait to see how he adjusts and come through this thing and let's just see how it all works out for him. And I'm looking forward to seeing him. So one of the big fish, like I said, the big fish in this whole ordeal, this free agency was Kevin Durant. And him and Kyrie has been rumored to want to play together for maybe the past year. And the team that stuck out that everybody was the destination from the beginning was the New York Knicks. The New York Knickerbockers. Okay, so let's break this down. So the New York Knicks had the possibility of getting Kevin Durant and Kyrie. That was just the tip of the iceberg, right? You go from getting Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving because you had skepticism about Kevin Durant's Achilles injury and how he's going to come back from it. The one thing I know, as great as Kevin Durant is, he's worth that year off. He's worth it. He is worth the risk. There's 30 teams in the NBA. 29 teams offer Kevin Durant the max. There's only one organization that would, and that's the goddamn New York Knicks, for whatever reason. You mean to tell me you're not going to offer Kevin Durant the max? I'm pretty sure that when Kevin Durant agent Rich Kleiman was talking to the Knicks, and they was like, hey, man, we got a little apprehension about giving him the max. I guarantee you, Rich Kleiman got him and said, this conversation is over. We'll see y'all down the road. And he literally went down the road. He went 20 minutes to Brooklyn. So James Dolan, James Dolan needs to instantly sell that team because that organization is terribly run. If you missed out on Kevin Durant now, not only did you miss out on Kevin Durant, you missed out on Kyrie. And then you miss out them, the other person that they got to come to Brooklyn with them was DeAndre Jordan. So you missed out on that because you didn't want to offer Kevin Durant the max. Stupid. And in return, you trade Kristaps Porzingis, who was in Dallas, who just recently, he's going to sign a five-year, $158 million deal in Dallas. So you traded Kristaps to open up space to get a Kyrie and to get a Kevin Durant. You know who your dumb ass got in return, New York? Do you understand who you got in return, New York? You got Julius Randle. got Julius Randle on a 3-year deal, I think $63 million. You got Julius Randle. You got Taj Gibson on like a 2-year $20 million deal. Are you serious? You go from possibly signing Kevin Durant and Kyrie to Julius Randle, Taj Gibson, and you also sign one other player as a Reggie Bullock. That's who you going to sign. Man, throw the whole organization away. Throw the whole organization in the trash. Like, come on. James Dolan, are you serious? If that's not, come on, man. Like, you got, okay, if I was the general manager for New York and James Dolan come to me and say, hey, we might not want to offer Kevin Durant the max. If I'm the GM, hey, you can't come to this meeting. Because that's stupidity for you to even say that. He's worth, hurt or not, he's worth that you're off. Come on, bro. So, New York is call it what it is, it's a shit show. They're going to be terrible again next year. Just what it is. let's just call it what it is, man. They're going to be terrible next year. To head out west to talk about a few West teams, like I told y'all earlier, Damian Lillard is staying at home in Portland. Jonas Valanciunas, Memphis Grizzlies, y'all know y'all the home team, and I love y'all to death. I can't say if this is a bad signing. They signed Jonas Valanciunas to 3 years, $45 million. Not the worst deal. I just don't know how y'all going to be. Y'all got him. Y'all got him playing beside Jackson. Y'all got John Morant coming in. So, y'all starting young. So, hey, we'll see how it go. That's all I can say. I'm not going to say anything bad about the home team. We just going to have to see how it go. So, that's all I'm going to say about that. Excuse me. Harrison Barnes decided to stay out in Sacramento. I guess I'm not too concerned about that. They got a good young core over there with De'Aaron Fox and what's the big mouth? Big mouth. What's his name? Buddy Hield. They got a good young core, Willie Cauley-Stein, and they throw Harrison Barnes in the midst of that. I think he signed for 4 years, $88 million. So, you know, that's just a we'll see. It's not bad. It's not great, and it's not a bad contract for him to stay there. So, you know, this is what it is. Rudy Gay has decided to stay out in San Antonio. No problem with that. Two year deal, I think, for like $16 a year, something along those lines. Okay, a team that it's a couple signings that kind of caught my attention. So, JJ Redick signed with the New Orleans Pelicans. And JJ Redick still out here picking up bags. That's all I can say. He just signed for 2 years, $26 million to play in New Orleans, and he'll be playing beside. And look, I think it's now that I think about it, it might be a good fit. You got Lonzo, you got Brandon Ingram, you got Drew Holiday, you'll have JJ Redick as a shooter, you got Zion. So you know they got a good core. They got a good young core, and you throw a little bit of veteran leadership in there with JJ, and you still got Drew Holiday over there. So, you know, it's not bad. It's not bad. Now, the Utah Jazz, they're not going to be able to guard nobody next year. Nobody. You got Mike Conley, who's a decent defender at this stage of his career. You got Donovan Mitchell at the two. You got Joe Ingles at the three. And Bojan Bogdanovic, who played for Indiana last year, he didn't get traded. He just signed a 4-year deal. I think 4 years, $70 million to go to Utah. They're not gonna be able to guard nobody. Now he's gonna fit well into their system. He's gonna fit well on the offensive side of the ball. I say that. That's really all I can say, but I don't think they're going to be able to guard anybody. Jared Green is staying in Houston. I don't give two fucks about Houston. I just don't think they're a good team. I don't think they're well ran. I think they are I think their whole life and the whole concept of their team is built on a sheet of paper, and you're never going to win trying to build a team off a sheet of paper. So I don't have no faith in Houston. I don't care who they got. As long as they got James Harden, Well, I ain't even going to say James Harden. As long as they got Mike D'Antoni over there, I have no fear in the Houston Rockets. So he's staying there. Trevor Ariza is still out here picking up bags with his old behind. He just picked up a bag for 2 years, $25 million in Sacramento. Once again, add some veteran leadership to their team and a great defensive player, a great team defender. And Trevor Ariza, I wish he would have went to a team that had a chance to compete. But I know the teams that's trying to compete probably don't, they're not going to be able to pay him $12.5 million a year. So, you know, I guess he wanted his money. He already got a ring, so he just wanted his money. Rodney Hood is staying in Portland. Portland might be the surprise team. Well, I ain't even going to say they're a surprise team here. They made it to the Western Conference Finals this year. They got swept, but they made it to the Western Conference Finals, and they were without their big guy in Jokic. And they just signed, well, I said it earlier, they traded for Hassan Whiteside. So whenever Jokic get back, you'll have Jokic at the four, Hassan Whiteside at the five, you'll have Rodney Hood possibly at the three, because Portland has lost a few players. Aminu has signed with, I can't remember who he signed with. Oh, I can't remember. I'm gonna have to remember. But They'll have a good lineup, and Rodney Hood at the three, and you'll have CJ and Dame at the one and two. I think that's a good lineup. I do. Hassan Whiteside got some shooters, and he'll be able they'll open up the floor for him to try to dominate on the inside. Let me just say that. Miami received Mo Harkless and Myers Leonard, and Portland got Whiteside. So, like I said, we'll see Seth Curry going to Dallas to play beside Luka Doncic and the Unicorn. So that's another. I know the Lakers were looking into trying possibly signing him. The Lakers are also trying. The Lakers, but they missed out on him. They're definitely going to try to go out there. Danny Green, try to add some shooting to their team. They also, since Iguodala got traded to Memphis, and Memphis going to buy him out, the Lakers are the front runners to sign Iguodala. I want to see how the rest of this roster feels out, man. Jamal Murray is staying with Denver on a max contract, 5 years, 170. Good, one of the best contracts I've seen. I like not Jamal Murray. Congratulations to him, but Patrick Beverley, I absolutely love this deal that he got. 3 years, $40 million. He got it out the mud. From Ukraine to the D League or the G League, with the D League at the time, got it out the mud playing all overseas, and to stay here to find a home and get $40 million for 3 years, salute to that brother, salute to him, man. It's just a good contract. You know exactly what you're gonna get from him every night. I'm not mad at it. I'm not mad at that contract whatsoever. It's well deserved, and like I said, you know exactly what you're gonna get from Patrick Beverley every night. Ennis Kanter has, I think, he's headed to Boston. That just was announced recently. That's just looking forward to that. So he's a great scorer. He just don't play no defense. Oh, I forgot to mention that Al Horford signed a 4-year deal, 4 years, $109 million, to go to Philadelphia to play beside Ben Simmons and Joel Embiid. It's going to be interesting. That's a big lineup, man. They got a big lineup. So you got Miami, a guy that played for Miami last year, and Jay Rich, he's over there. And you got Ben Simmons at 6'9". You got Tobias Harris at 6'8". You got Al Horford at 6'9". And you got Joel at 7'1", 7'2". That's a big starting five for Philadelphia, man. So looking forward to seeing how the rest of their roster feels out. You know, man, like I said, it's just the first day, man. First day in, and we're going to see how, like I said, we're still waiting on Kawhi. Clay is headed back to his team. So it's like now the only person that everybody's waiting on at this moment is Kawhi to see what he ends up doing. And he, like I said, he's meeting with a couple teams to see where he's going to end up, man, it's going to be interesting to see. It truly is going to be interesting to see where he ends up, because at this point, you can't think about next year. Next year, like I said, it's an even playing field. It's an even playing field, I think, for all NBA teams. I think if you've had any shot at winning, this upcoming year is the year that you need to go all in and try to win it. You need to go all in and see if you can put a team together and go after a championship in this year. Because this year is the year to do it. It just is with Kevin Durant being out. And like I said, I just think from there everybody is grounded. It's an even playing field. So I would love to see. I'm ready to see how the rest of the teams fill out. That's what I'm ready to see. I'm just ready to see how the rest of the teams fill out. So that's my small breakdown. Kemba, and I don't know if I said the number, but Kemba signed for 4 years, 140 in Boston. But this is just my small breakdown, just my opinion. Like I said, I think so far everybody has made good deals and good choices. I don't think nobody has made just a bad deal so far. I don't think nobody has made just a bad deal, not to my knowledge. Like I said, even the ones I'm like, man, maybe he shouldn't have got that much, but it's not a bad deal. So, you know, we'll see, though. We'll see how it all works out. And like I said, we have to see where Kawhi ends up going, and then we'll have to see how the rest of these rosters fill out to see what deals are good and what deals are bad. But as of right now, there hasn't been a deal that was made that I've been like, what in the world is going on here? That was stupid. They shouldn't have signed. I hadn't said that yet. I say that. Now, I guess the only person that you can say I said that about is the Knicks, and that's just the Knicks as an organization. It ain't one individual player. It's just an individual. Just crazy. So, it's that whole thing is just mind-blowing that they will go through it. Oh, my goodness. So, that's neither here nor there. I'm not going to go back into it. But y'all, like I said, man, it's just a small breakdown, a small recap of free agency, man. And Lord knows, man, as much as I love basketball, I'm looking forward, truly, truly looking forward to seeing how the rest of the rosters play out and what moves. Like I said, I know Rondo is going to go back to the Lakers on a vet minimum. Looking forward to that. Like I said, I'm just ready to see. So y'all know I got to give y'all the movie of the week, man. Movie that I watched a couple weeks ago was called See You Yesterday. Two teen prodigies try to master the art of time travel. A tragic police shooting sends them on a series of dangerous trips in the past. The cast is Ian Duncan Smith, Dante Crenshaw, and Astro. Really, really good movie, man. It's just about two young black kids that, like they said, trying to master time travel, and they did it. They came up with a solution to time travel, and they did it. And something very unfortunate, the girl in the story, her brother was shot by the police, and she wanted to go back and save him. And when she went back, it's just a lot of things went wrong. But she was so determined to fix things that she just kept jumping back into time. And, you know, every time she went back, something else went wrong, and she would come back and try to go. She was going back and forth, so it's a really, really good movie. Really easy to follow. Just go on Netflix, man, and type in See You Yesterday, and I promise you will enjoy that movie. I watched it maybe two times. And I could give y'all some more, man, but I'm going to save some because I'm going to do another episode for Friday. And I might give y'all two on Friday to watch because I already got them in mind. But and man, it's been a blessing, man. It's been a pleasure, man. Like, once again, man, I appreciate you guys for lending me. Man, I need to drink some water after that tongue twist. Hold on. Ah, my bad. But I appreciate you guys for lending me your listening ear however long I decide to talk, man. I truly, truly appreciate it. If you have any comments, questions, concerns, anything, man, y'all know where to reach me at PrisonerOfWar10 on Instagram and on Twitter, @PrisonerOfWar10. Exactly how it's spelled. It's spelled exactly how it sounds. You can also reach out to me on Facebook at Desmond Boogie Yates. Everything is a public profile, man. So reach out to me and let me know your comments, questions, concerns, whatever the case may be, man. Just give me all your comments. I appreciate every one of them. And like I say every week, man, you can fit in. Just be unusual when you do it. I'm out.
Some people say I'm crazy. I ain't crazy. I'm just ignorant. I ain't crazy. I'm just ignorant.